Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
Actually, his performance was dropping, so they actually fired him from our job. And my boss at the time, the one who is now my current partner, called me and let me know. He was like, hey, we just let so-and-so go. So I just want you to be prepared. It's so weird how the guilt gets you. Like, it's like, well, shoot, like, I can't leave now because now this guy's got no job. If I leave, who's going to help this man take care of himself?
Note to self, if things aren't working out with your coworker boyfriend, your new man might just be a team meeting away. Welcome to season 8, episode 14 of The Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy. And this week, our guest says she ended up with her and her boyfriend's boss after a brutal breakup. And if you're wondering where stories like these come from, I take submissions from a form in the episode description. So if you want to submit somebody's breakup there, your own, something you've seen on social media, or if you want to let me know if somebody you know is soft launching their breakup and you want me to get a little nosy and DM them, again, that submission form is in the episode description. So check it out there. And as always, if you want to jump to a certain part of the interview, timestamps are in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. This week, we've got an interview from someone who says they were with their boyfriend for 10 years, but ended up leaving him and getting into a relationship with their boss. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence organization just to raise more awareness. And this week we are shouting out Cornerstone Minneapolis. They were founded in 1983 to connect women in crisis due to domestic violence with support and safety. For more details, you can check out all that info in the episode description. Okay, into this week's submission. I don't know what it is about a workplace environment that seems to bring people together romantically, but in 2025, the number one place where people were meeting other than online dating is either through friends or at work. On top of that, a lot of studies even show that 85% of affairs start at work. So if you don't meet your partner at work the first go around, maybe it's pretty safe to say that your next person is going to be at work. And the question on our minds this episode is, did this week's interviewee meet her now boyfriend during a hot workplace affair? This week's submission says that the interviewee and her boyfriend were together for 10 years and, of course, worked together. After a decade of being together, they split and has since been in a pretty successful relationship with their boss. Now, just because of the dynamics and the whole workplace thing doesn't necessarily mean there's an affair happening here, but there's obviously a story as to how these two got together, even if it was just as simple as bonding over the Xerox machine breaking every 2 to 3 days. So let's get the full details when we break down this week's breakup.
I moved up from a different state. We started working together. I got a new job immediately and I was young. I started this job and he had already worked there and we met and it was just kind of like this, there was like chemistry almost immediately. And he was really funny, really quick-witted, really got my sense of humor. And I felt like we could have like a really good banter. We basically started to see each other almost right away, which is just like such a wild thing. You think about it as a kid or as a young adult and it's moving into a new spot now. I would never do something like this, but you know, you feel like very displaced and there's that immediate connection. And so it was like, ooh, this is a person that I could like see myself really enjoying being around and being with. And so we started seeing each other almost right away. It was kind of this, the industry that I work in, it actually has a really high, like get together fast, break up fast rate. So we got to know each other a little bit. I started going out. Then he had a party at his house. You know, I'd never really gone drinking or anything like that. So he had this big party and he was about 5 or 6 years older than me. So we went over there and there was, you know, there were drinks that were flowing. There were people that I didn't know. I'd never really been exposed either to like any other substances. And so seeing this kind of mysterious, slightly older guy, I was like, oh, this is just like, I guess what people do, right? Didn't really move in with him, but I started staying with him like almost right away. So I go over there and I'm staying with him. And then my family was a little bit shocked, you know, because I just moved up here and they were like, what are you doing? And the industry that we work in is also a little bit unorthodox. So they were like, oh my gosh, she's got this crazy job. She's got this new maybe boyfriend person. So they were a little bit cautious. His parents own a couple of different duplexes. And so they offered us one of their duplexes to live in at a really reduced rent rate, which sounded great when we were, you know, 19 and 25 and had no money. So we moved into one of those duplexes, and pretty immediately our families really aligned. So they really got along well. He had a good family unit. My parents and my family, they had a good family unit. So our family started hanging out together and doing things like Thanksgiving and Christmas and 4th of July. And it was just very much this with the intention of like, you know, if these two are going to be together for a long time, then we're going to start to get together for a long time because we want to just, you know, make the family circle bigger. So they all got along really, really well. And so then when the not so great things started happening, it kind of became one of those things where it was like, well, you know, our families are really intertwined. Like, this is just how this is just one of those little rough patches where things happen, but we're really well aligned. So we're going to make it through. He is very charismatic, very fun, very almost aloof, where I think as like a person who, you know, was kind of desperate for attention at the time, like I kind of was like, ooh, this, you know, this guy's like kind of mysterious and, you know, he doesn't open his heart up to a lot of people, but he's opening it up to me. So that made me feel really special. And, you know, as a 19-year-old, I was like, where was that frontal lobe? Not there. So you see that like kind of detachment, and it made me want to like go in more, because I think that my sort of attachment style is a little more anxious attachment, where it's like, ooh, he's not paying attention to me. So I gotta dig in more. I gotta text more. I have to be the one that puts in the effort to to get him to show me affection, which, you know, at this age now, I'm like, that is such a waste of time. But at the time, that was what I knew. And so we got together, and about a year and a half into the relationship, a new girl started working at our place of employment. And immediately he started going out with her more, and they would go grab a drink after work or, you know, whatever the case may be. And at the time, it had to be probably just a year and actually, because I was not old enough to get into bars. I was probably 20. And so I just knew that there was something going on, but I wasn't confident enough or competent enough to call it quits. And so I would go after work. We worked in the same job at different locations. So I would typically go and meet him at his place, his job, and we'd go home together or something like that. You know, we'd go to his place, and then he started staying out more and more and more after work. So it was at a bar that was right near his place of employment. So I would do the crazy thing, because I knew there was something going on with this person. And I would basically sit in my car and wait outside this bar and text and text and text and be like, what is going on? What is going on? You know, when are you going to be home? Because I'm going home. When are you coming home? And finally, one night, he stayed out all night long, didn't come home. And this was, I think, before you could like do find your location or anything on phone. So I was just the crazy stalker sitting outside the bar, knowing something was going on and not, you know, having the guts to basically do anything about it. After the night and he stayed out all night, I was like, this is it. I'm done. So I went home, I grabbed all my stuff, and I moved out. And I moved back into my parents' home. And, you know, they were really accommodating, which was great. And then he immediately, probably about a week or so later, we had a conversation where I was like, this is, you know, this is not a behavior that I'm going to put up with. Like, we're done. We knew that we'd still be working in the same industry. So I was like, we're just going to have to deal with seeing each other every once in a while. But, you know, if you're going to be with this other person, then like, you know, I'm not going to. And I was like heartbroken because I felt so alone. I'd only been up here for about 2 years and I didn't really have a close knit friend group or anything like that. So I was like, it was very easy for him after about 2 to 3, I think it was probably about 2 months, for him to reach back out to me and be like, I made a mistake. You know, I really want to be with you. I love you. Like, you know, kind of crawling back, and I let him. So I was like, okay, you know, maybe he learned his lesson. Like, maybe we can work this out. We worked really well together. Our families got along well together. Like, maybe we can fix this. And so we moved back in together into a new apartment complex, new place. So tried just a fresh start, essentially. Everything was pretty normal there for about 2 or 3 years. We were working together. We became just like, we were just kind of a partnership that in hindsight, we were relying on each other for connection, but it was like all the wrong reasons. You know, we'd go home, go to work. He started to drink a lot. I kind of fell into that a little bit with him, but more so with like the fact that like, this is just kind of what people do. You know, you come home from work at night, you have a glass of wine together or a cocktail. Like, this is just kind of one of the things. But he didn't know when to stop. And so there would be moments in episodes where we'd have people over or friends over. And I knew that it was going to be like, that he was going to get way too intoxicated. And then it just kind of became something where, like, you know, the weekend would come and, you know, weekend warriors. And I really like to go out and, like, do things and go to, you know, farmers markets and go get brunch and go hiking and go exploring. And he'd wake up on a Saturday or Sunday and always be way too hungover to do anything with me. So I would, like, make some breakfast. And then I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go shopping. I'm going to go to the farmer's market. My parents' house was right down the road. And so I was going to go out and go gardening with them. And it just kind of became this thing where it was like, I started getting really reluctant to even, like, hang out with him anymore. Cause I was like, if we're just going to stay up all night on a Friday or a Saturday night and you're going to get smashed and not be able to do anything, like, that's not the type of relationship that I want. You know, it's one thing to have a good time, go to a party, and, you know, every once in a while, but this isn't the lifestyle that I really want to lead. And then it's so funny. There's this quote that I love that's like, happiness is not a destination. And I think that we were searching for that. And in searching for that, we moved like three times to three different apartments, like thinking that, like, you know, maybe this bigger apartment or bigger condo or whatever, this is going to make us feel like we're a couple that should be getting married or having kids or things like that. And, you know, you're searching for that thing that's going to fix it instead of doing like the internal work of the relationship to fix it. Because every time we'd move, it would get better for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we would get along better. We wouldn't argue. He would tell me that, like, thinking back on it, it's so manipulative. He'd be like, yeah, I really want to stop drinking and I want to start going to the gym. So I need you to go to the gym with me. And I didn't learn until much later that, like, that was him pinning his, like, success or failure on what he wanted to do on me. So that way, when it didn't work, he had someone to blame or look at, be like, you know, well, you didn't go to the gym with me, or you didn't, you know, quit drinking, or whatever the case may be. And so in the third apartment that we lived in, that's where things really started to go downhill. And then we're probably 7-8 years into this relationship now. So it's been, and I knew that the end was coming. It was just one of those things where I was like, you know, I'm 28, 29, like, getting married is important to me. At one point, I think it was probably 5 or 6 years in, he actually quasi proposed and told me that he wanted to get married. And my gut reaction was, I don't want to be married to this person. Like, I don't want to get married, because I could just, and I, at the time, I didn't know this, but then later on, I cannot marry somebody that I don't want to live the last 7 years of my life over again. And his family was great, but at the time, they, you know, because they knew that he wanted to get married and I was the reluctant one. It's just, his mom at one point was like, well, you guys should just get married. And, you know, and he really wants kids. So if you start, if you guys have kids, it'll get better. And I was like, that's not the way that works. You know, it looks, because, and then I remember at one point I had a thought, because he really was like, let's go get married. Let's go do this. And I was like, if I get married and I have children with this man, I'm going to be raising two children. And that's not, ugh. So it totally freaked me out. And I think then that's when I really started pulling away. It's kind of like what you've said before that I've heard, where it's like, you slowly break up with him over time. And then there's like the final straw. And that's really what I think happened. And so he started partying really hard. And I was at the point where I was about to turn probably 29. I was really just kind of taking a look at, like, what is going on with my life? Like, what do I want the next 10 years to look like? What do I want? You know, what do I want for my job, for my career, for my relationships? And at that point, I had really started pouring all my time into my work. And I really wanted to get myself in a good position where I felt financially secure to make those decisions. Cause that was the other thing too, is I was like, where am I going to go? And what am I going to do? Like, I'm going to have to pay my own rent. I'm going to have to, you know, if this person's still working with me, I'm going to be interconnected with him as much as we have been for, you know, the last 8-9 years. And then his performance was dropping. So they actually fired him from our job. And it was while we were still together. And my boss at the time, the one who is now my current partner, called me and let me know. He was like, hey, we just let so-and-so go. You know, we had to make that decision. So I just want you to be prepared so that when you go home, you know, there's going to be, and so I immediately texted my ex and was like, hey, heard this happened. How are you doing? And he was so mean and sarcastic about it. And he was just like, how the fuck do you think I'm doing it? I was like, well, you know, we'll figure it out. It's so weird how the guilt gets you. Like, I was like, well, shoot, like I can't leave now. Cause now this guy's got no job. If I leave, who's going to help this man take care of himself? And who's going to help this 35-year-old man grow up?
Like, not remotely your responsibility, but for some reason, as women, we take that on.
I know. And I was just like, okay, well, maybe I'll wait a couple months and until he gets a new job and then I'll figure out. And then he went home and he got absolutely trash drunk and called me screaming at me, absolutely in this like rage, telling me that to go fuck myself, telling me that he knew that I was having an affair with our boss and he was going to call our boss's wife and tell her everything. And I was just on the phone, like flabbergasted and like shocked and scared, because it's like, this is not what we do. This is not something I'm going to put up with. This is like, you know, borderline. I mean, this is basically domestic violence, like you yelling at me and saying those things to me. And I knew he was trashed because I was like, where are you? You know, just, you know, are you at home? And he wouldn't tell me. And there's a bar right next to where he used to work. So I was like, are you at this bar? I will pick you up. Do not drive. And it's just like the manipulation is crazy. Cause he's like, I'm sitting right outside his former place of employment. And it was a really busy night. We have a lot of clients that come through our business. And I was like, oh my God, he is going to go in there and cause a scene. I don't know what he was going to do. So then I immediately called our boss after this tirade. I ended up hanging up on him because I was like, I can't. And I called our boss and I was like, hey, he might be sitting outside. If you need to go down there and police things, if you want to call the cops, like at this point, this is insane. He was like, he's not going to do anything. Like he knew that it was just like manipulation and just trying to reach out for a connection. And so he was like, he's not going to do anything, but I will let the managers know so that they can be prepared for this situation. I was like, okay, great. And then I immediately called my ex's cousin, who was his best friend. And I was like, I don't know where he is. He's trashed. He is being completely unhinged. Can you call him and try to talk him off the ledge? Because I don't know what this crazy man's going to do, and tell him to stop drinking and, you know, that we'll pick him up and get him home. And he was like, yeah, sure. And I'm still working at this time. Like I'm still at work. I've got another couple of clients to see. So I'm just like, I had to like throw my hands up in the air and just be like, okay, like can't do it. And so then I get home and he's asleep on the couch and he wakes up and he looks at me and he goes, oh, hey, like completely fine, totally normal. And I'm like, in tears. Do you not remember anything that just happened 3 hours ago or 2 hours ago? And he was like, no, what are you talking about? Like, what's going on? I was like, did you get so blackout drunk that you don't remember telling me all these horrible things about myself and telling me to go fuck myself and telling me that you never should have stayed with me? Like, do you remember any of this? And he was just like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, this is bananas. And so I told him, I was like, you need to get help. Like if this is the level of alcoholism that you are dealing with, where you don't remember that you just told somebody who you've told that you want to marry and you want to have kids with, that they are a horrible person, that I'm a slut, that I'm sleeping around. Like if you don't remember any of this stuff, then this ain't ever going to work. I think it was a couple months later, he went out one night with his cousin and then he was out late, probably about 3 or 4 in the morning. And he came home and he got in bed and I had been texting like, where are you? At this point, we had shared locations, which is like so codependent. I know that some people really love that, but I was like, if this is what it takes to rebuild trust, which it really doesn't, if you get to that point, I'm like, that's the end of the relationship. But I could see where he was and he was like deep up in a different town. I was like, they don't know anybody up there. Like, what are you guys doing? And so about 4 a.m. rolled around. I was like, if you guys have been out drinking or partying or whatever, like call me and I'll come get you because I don't want you driving home at 4 a.m. He finally gets home and he gets in bed and I'm still awake because I'm like worried that he's going to run off the road into a tree. And he gets in bed and he goes to like cuddle me and immediately I can tell something's different. There's something about his demeanor and I can't quite pinpoint it still, but it was just, he was more affectionate and he was kind of wired and he tried to kiss me, was starting to try to initiate having sex. And I was like, no, like this is, and so I asked him, I was like, what did you do? Like, this isn't, I knew that it wasn't drunk and that was, you know, drunk him and whatever this was not him having too many drinks because, you know, you have too many drinks, you get wasted and then you pass out and you're incapacitated. And this, so we got up the next morning and he was like kind of awake and tossing and turning all night. So we got up the next morning and I was like, what was that? Like, you know, what is going on? And at this point, he's starting to really just spiral. And so I think that's why it stayed so long. Cause I was like, again, who is going to take care of this person? What can I do to help? And so he's like, my cousin, he knew a guy who had cocaine. And I was like shocked. And I knew before me that he, like before we'd been together, I knew that he had been a DJ and was kind of in that party scene where there was like ecstasy involved. Like he'd stay up all night and he would go out and do that. But that was never a part of our life together. And I had never been exposed to any hard drugs like that. So I was like, did you do it? He was like, yeah, I just took a little bump. You know, it's not a big deal. And I was like, no. Like, and that's where like the hair went up on my arms. Cause I was like, that is the biggest deal. If you are coming here and telling me that a week ago you were complaining about how you were going to pay your rent and then you're going and spending money on this, call me crazy. Drugs are expensive. Like if we're struggling to do things like go on vacation or you're struggling with maintaining your car and you're telling me that you're going and spending a few $100 on this, like insanity. And so I was like totally freaked out. And I knew at that point, I was like, I have to get out of here. Like I have to do something. So I started planning and putting things into play. And that was the first time that I really reached out to my mom and my parents. And I was like, I can't stay here. Like he's spiraling. I'm exhausted. I can't be responsible for this man anymore. His parents are on the other side going, well, he really needs you. You know, he really needs. And I'm like, no, bro, like I gotta get out of here. And so that's when my mom was like, she was like, we'll support whatever you want to do. Luckily, my parents, they have a studio apartment behind the garage of their house. It's like a full on 600 square foot studio with kitchen, bathroom, everything. She's like, why don't you come and move back into the studio or until you figure out what you want to do? I was like, okay, this is it. Like I've got it in place. But I it's so bizarre to me when you think back on it, like why it took so long to get to that point. I came home one day and one of his friends and his girlfriend had come over. We'd all been friends together and they go outside, I think. And he was also a cigarette smoker. So I was like, maybe they just stepped outside for a cigarette. And then he came back inside and he had white stuff under his nostrils. And I looked at him and I was like, what were you doing out there? And he kind of looks at me and I was like, I just need you to think very, very carefully before you lie to me. And I need you to make a choice right now if you're going to tell me the truth or lie. And he was like, yeah, we just did a little bit of cocaine. And I was like, okay. And then his cousin comes in and same thing, white stuff under his nose. And I was like, what were you doing out there? Just seeing if he would lie to me too. And he was like, oh, we just were talking and, you know, having a cigarette and stuff. And that's how I knew. I was like, this guy is always, he's got a cousin who's going to back him up no matter what. So I can't. You know, they're both on the same side and like, they're always going to have each other's backs and they're never going to tell me the truth. So then I told him that I was moving out. I was like, I'm done. And I did it all within one day. And he was still at the point where he was like, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. And so I moved out. My dad and my brother came and helped me. And the funny part is that a bunch of the furniture in the apartment was stuff that was mine. You know, we had a really nice barbecue and really nice kitchenware. And I left most of it because I was like, I don't want anything to do with this. It's not worth it. So I just told my dad and my brother, I was like, whatever we can do to get me out the fastest. So packed all my clothes up, got those out, packed up some of the kitchen stuff, got that out. And then it took about 2 days, I think. So I just told him, I was like, you need to stay away from the apartment while I finish this, because I don't want you here while I'm moving out. And then there was kind of a weird, probably week where, you know, I moved out and then I'm laying in bed and I'm all alone. And I'm like, oh, is that the right thing to do? And he's still texting me and his family is still messaging because we were all supposed to go over. This was right before New Year's. We were all supposed to go over to his family's house for New Year's. And so I think his parents I think they thought if they could get everyone together again, then I would change my mind.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
So they were kind of like, what are you guys doing for New Year's? Like, your parents are still coming, right? I was like, no, bro, this just happened. And so We got through New Year's. We didn't see each other. I had a few more things to go pick up. So I just waited until I knew he was going to be out of the house. And at this point, he was working for his mom's company. He'd gotten another job. So he was employed. I knew he was when he was going to be out. And so I was going over and just getting more and more of my stuff and just bringing it out of the house. It's probably a month and a half later, he reached out to me and he was like, hey, you know, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 blah. You know, I really took a look at myself and quit drinking. I am working out. I'm doing all this stuff and I'm not, you know, high on anything. And he was like, do you want to come over and, you know, hang out and talk? Like, let's talk. I'm like, you want to talk for 10 years. Now you want to talk. And then immediately after that, I broke my foot. And so I was on one of those cute little wheelie scooters. And I kind of feel like if I hadn't done that, it would have been so easy to go back and forth and kind of do that little weird time where you're kind of still together. You might be kind of still sleeping together, but you're still living separate and just like cutting that final string. So I used that as my excuse of why I couldn't go see him rather than being a grown up and being like, no, stop talking to me and stop communicating. We're done. I was like, no, I can't drive easily. I'm kind of incapacitated. And then COVID hit. And so then we had to be away from each other anyways. And that was honestly, I think, the push that I needed to really make it final. It was just using those things as like tools to not go back over there. Because we had been so interconnected with our jobs and everything else that it was like, it would have been so easy for me to fall back into that habit. So then he kind of blocked me on everything. He reached out on Instagram about 6 months after that and was like, hey, you know, I'm so sorry for everything. You were so right all this time. Why don't we get together and like go have a coffee? He's like, we could just be friends. I was like, no, we can't. Like this is, I've never lived within 2,000 miles of an ex. And so living so close to one that's just like, hey, maybe we can go get together. I'm not one of those people that stays friends with their exes. I don't have that kind of capacity to do that. And usually I'm like, you know, it's done, it's done. So I was like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. Immediately, probably like a night later, I got a three paragraph rant on Instagram because it's the only place he hadn't blocked me on. And it was him again. I could tell he was wasted, ranting up basically the same rant that he screamed at me over the phone like 2 or 3 years prior. So I was like, okay, I just blocked him and I haven't spoken to him since. So it's been 3.5 years. And if he still lives where he lives now, he lives probably 3 minutes away from the house that my current partner and I have.
Oh my God. Wait, so tell me about that, because you end up with your boss or your former boss. How, just sort of summarize how that happened real quick for me.
He actually interviewed me and I've been at my current job now for, gosh, almost 16 years, which is insane. So he was my very first interview when I was 19. I got promoted to an executive position in our company by him, which was great. So we started working much more closely together because he runs like 6 different locations. And so he tries to spend like a day of the week in each location. And so he and I, you know, we just became closer. I got to know him better and started talking more. He knew that all of this turmoil was going on. He knew how tumultuous my ex was. And so then we started talking about his personal life as well, because he and his now ex-wife own the company together.
Oh, wow.
So we
this is just like an office rectangle. Oh, it's love rectangle.
It's insane. And so they still own the companies together. He had been wanting to separate for a long time. And then he was kind of wanting to stick it out until his son turned 18, which is still going to be another 7-8 years. He was just really, really unhappy. And so he told me, he was like, we started to get much, much closer. And he was like, I think, you know, you're a fantastic person. I really want to be with you. And I was like, cool, instant attraction. He's charismatic. He's tall. He's good looking. Like, and we get it where our banter is hysterical. Like, we have more fun together than I've ever had with anybody. And we both love to travel. We both love to go out and have a good time. But also, because I talked to him, I'm never going to be somebody's other woman. Like, that's not, I've learned so much from this past relationship. I'm not going to hang on here waiting for you to potentially get divorced, potentially get separated, potentially stay together. That's not in my wheelhouse. And he was like, no, that's totally fair. So immediately he moved out, got his own apartment. We started dating and it still felt really taboo because him and his ex-wife had been together for quite some time, probably 11, 12 years. And it's all still in the workplace. It took a little while when we really started like being able to go out and date, where we would run into other coworkers or other clients, and they knew that he and his ex had been together forever.
Yeah.
And so it made me really nervous because I was like, oh my gosh, are our clients going to think that there's like an affair? It's like the Coldplay kiss cam where like, I was like, you know, and you get that feeling where it's like, is it okay if people see us together? Because we also have a very strict, like no fraternization policy between our employees and our clients. He was already there. He's about 13 years older than me. And so he's lived a lot more life. And he's just like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. People are going to think what they want to think. We're not going to speak on it. Whatever they think is whatever they think, because they're probably wrong. And so it took me a while to get to be okay with that too. And just realize that I don't owe anybody any explanation. My private life is my private life. And it took probably a good year for me to get comfortable with that. And then you just realize, I think turning 30 and now I'm 35. You just realize that people don't care about you nearly as much as they think they care, as you think they care about you. And it just kind of blossomed into this really great partnership. We lived in an apartment together for a year, and then we ended up buying a house and getting two cats. It's not helpful. And it's just, we've talked about, you know, possibly getting married at some point, maybe having some kids. And it's not necessarily something that's, I would say, a major priority to either one of us, but I think at some point, yeah, it's going to happen. He's looking at selling off some of his businesses and actually looking at like an early retirement. So maybe another 6-7 years, like he's slowly selling them off to his executive team. And we've talked about me purchasing one of them. But again, if he's going to be leaving the industry in 6 to 7 years and we want to go travel and travel the world, I don't want to be tied to a business here. So just kind of navigating all of that.
Yeah, that's really beautiful.
It's pretty interesting.
It's,
yeah,
exciting. And obviously, like with everything that you just went through with your previous relationship, I'm sure it just does get better. That's the lesson here is it does get better. Of course, when you have the ability and the courage to leave a situation that not just isn't serving you, but is actually very unhealthy and dangerous even. What did you learn and what did you take away from that relationship?
Ooh, you can't love a project into a partner. And that was what I think I tried to do. Because I had, you know, and it's so funny, when I was with him, I didn't want to get married. I didn't want to have kids. And I thought that was just like what I didn't want to do those things in my life. And then I got out of that relationship. And also, I think some of it has to do with, you get older, and whether women like to admit it or not, we do have a kind of a biological clock. But I'm so glad that we didn't get married and we didn't have kids, because then I'd be tied to it. And my big like kind of revelation was once we hit our 10-year anniversary, I was kind of looking at it and I was like, if I stay, I'm going to relive this next 10 years over and over again. It hasn't changed. It's not gotten better. I think something that I did afterwards is I started journaling a little bit, and I just wrote down my values. And I was like, what are my values that I am not willing to compromise ever again? And why did this relationship not align with those? Figuring out like just really where it went, not even where it went wrong, but just what was not going to be working for me ever. And then when I got together with my current partner, we had that conversation. I was like, these are the things that are not going to work for me anymore. So if these are things that you either want or don't align with, like these are like the ones that, you know, we can't compromise on these. And he has almost all the same values as I do. His former partner drank a lot as well. And so that was something that we talked about a lot together, is like, you know, going out, having a good time, that's fine, you know, but being, you know, not getting out of control, stupid, that's not a normal weekend thing for us. So, you know, we work out together. We work on the yard together. Like, it's just, it's so crazy how it went from like partners, like party lifestyle, to now I feel like I'm like living like this really weird, like cottage core life where I'm like, I have a garden and we planted fruit trees. And it's just like, what, how did this happen within like 3 years? You know,
who am I? Who have I become? All because just like one person that comes in and makes your life so much better. And it's crazy. Cause I was talking to a friend yesterday that is in this relationship and she's been in it for 10 years, but I was talking to people afterwards and we were kind of debriefing. And it's like, she has no idea that if she leaves that relationship, how good it can be for her. Like, and that's the number one reason why so many people stay in these relationships. You just think sometimes maybe you can't do better, or you've invested so much time in it that it's like, oh my God, you know, if I leave, what's on the other side? Is it just, I might rather have this person than be alone? But you have no idea that there's it can be so good. And sometimes we think that we deserve it for whatever reason, or we think that that's all a fairy tale. And it's like, well, this idea in my mind of the perfect relationship doesn't exist, because everyone says love isn't perfect and relationships are hard. But sometimes it is just like the gentle, quiet love of planting a freaking tomato tree in your backyard.
I know.
That can feel so good and so life-giving.
Well, and I think the other thing that I learned from it too is ask for help. It's one of those things where I don't really like speaking on, I really try, or like, even if my partner and I, like right now, are having, if he and I are, you know, having a disagreement or on the outs, I don't go air that dirty laundry to like my mom or my family, because I don't want them to see him through that lens of like me being annoyed for one day. But back, my parents are fantastic about this. Like, they could really tell that with my ex, it was getting really tumultuous. And so my mom was like, you know, it's okay to ask. Like, it's okay to come to me at, and you just don't realize that if you wait, like, I waited until it was so bad before I actually made the ask. I was like, I need help. I need a soft place to land for a little while. And I think that being like hyper independent, that's a coping mechanism. Like, you know, learning to be like, to actually just say the words, I need help. I have a girlfriend right now who's been in a relationship with a guy for 7 years that she just told he needs to be out of. And she's like your age. She's like 27, 28. And she's bought her own house. She's done it all. She's awesome. And she's like, she told him that he needs to be out by the end of the month because he's exhibiting almost all of the same characteristics that my ex is exhibiting. And so her and I, one of our other girlfriends, were really, really close, and used your advice that you gave actually a while ago on the show. And when you said, I will always be as happy about your relationship as you are. And that's what I told her. And it's been, she was like, I was like, I'm not going to shit on him or whatever, because I wouldn't want somebody that would have forced me to stay with my partner. If someone's just like, you know, yeah, he's a piece of shit. And then I would have gotten protective of, it's just a whole thing, right? Like the psychology behind it. And so she told him he needs to be out by the end of the month. And my other friend is like, God, I just want to go get that guy and get him out of there. And I was like, and I just said something, and I was like, we just need to love her enough so that she starts loving herself enough to leave. Like, that's all we can do. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to have parents and friends that did that for me. So that was like a big lesson learned.
Yeah. It's funny you bring that up, because I'm watching, have you heard of Nobody Wants This? That came out. That's kind of what's happening with one of the characters, Morgan, where she's dating this guy and they're all like, why is she dating this man? We had no idea he existed, blah, 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 blah. And Adam Brody's character was like, just support her. You don't have to support the relationship, but support her.
Yep.
And then that's going to empower somebody to make the decision that they know deep down, they know they need to make that decision, but they can't do it until they're ready.
Well, and you just don't know what's on the other side until you've been to the other side. And it's scary because it's new, because we've all stayed in relationships too long. And it's just like hoping it'll get better. Because I think we all just, at the end of the day, we all want to find a person and connect with somebody. My relationship now, is it perfect? No, but no relationship is, but it doesn't feel, I'm so, and we talk about this too, my partner and I, feel so weird to say boyfriend when your partner's like 10 years older than you or 11 years older than you, my cohabitating human that gardens with me. But it's like, you get so excited to come home at the end of the night. So is he. Like, the house doesn't feel like your home should feel like your safest space when you're living with someone. And if you pull into the driveway and you're like, ugh, like, you're like, oh God, you know? And I told him, I was like, because we love to travel. We travel all the time. And I'm like, this is great. This is so fun. But one of my big things is like, I want to make sure that our traveling doesn't feel like an escape from our life. Cause that can also, it's just like moving apartments, like what I did in the first relationship. Like, you're looking for the next thing or the next dopamine hit of going to a new city. And so we're very conscious of making sure that that's not the case. Like, I know that everybody needs to get away and go do, you know, whatever, which is fine. But that, I don't want that to be like, we need to escape our house.
Yeah. What advice would you give anybody that resonates with your story and that relationship that you were brave enough to escape?
It's okay to realize that chemistry and compatibility are different. And I think that that's something like my ex and I, we had a lot of chemistry, but when you really get down to like the compatibility of things, like, were our values compatible? Was our lifestyle compatible? You know, what are the things that when you are 60 years old and you are like, hanging around the house, what do you want from the compatibility? And it's hard because you get these, like, there's the highs and the lows, and you know, you get that like big rush of endorphins. And then, but your body gets used to that. And it's like being boring can be a really good thing, but we don't search for boring, right? Like we talk a lot about that, I think on the other show too, where you guys talked a lot about that. Like, you know, is it boring or is it safe? And kind of realizing that you can train your nervous system to recognize safe versus exciting. And so that's the big thing, is like really, you know, write and journal, try to journal it down. Like what is the chemistry that you feel? Are they physically, is there physical chemistry, emotional chemistry, but then look at the compatibility. Because the compatibility is what's going to get you through the long, hard stuff.
On Thursday, our breakdown bonus episode will be about a topic I have seen people talking about on social media pretty recently, all about how women sometimes feel responsible for their male partner's behaviors or life or just keeping it all together. So the personality hires will be on to discuss with me on Thursday. I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.